Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Visitors are in this meeting. Can you hear me say?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
Ah, nice.
Welcome. Visitors being in the meeting.
Visitors are in the meeting. Meeting is being recorded. I always wanted to, there's a transcript.
My God.
There's a transcript option. I should do like a transcript so we can do subtitles for all the millennials who can't watch TV shows without hearing without subtitles.
Just like old people.
My subtitles. I can't hear without my subtitles.
I don't know. I like subtitles.
Well, you also grew up watching anime. I believe that's where it comes from.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. I think it comes from people who are like, I'm not listening to a dub. What am I? Some sort of whatever the Japanese word for an idiot is.
For me, a lot of the a lot of it is less to do with that, more that I think just audio mixing is shitty.
You know, I was thinking that, and I just got a brand new sound system. My sound system's awesome. I just think people have shitty sound systems. I think that's what it comes down to.
I usually wear headphones.
Yeah, so. Exactly. You got Dolby 5.1.8 surround sound, whatever the fuck I got.
I've not followed up on it, but I heard something that might actually be the cause, but I have not.
You have no proof. This is just.
I have no proof. I've not checked it yet. I've not checked it yet. Well, supposedly Netflix is like default audio is not normal. You have to like swap the default audio. Yeah. I guess Netflix is like always like defaulting to like a surround sound.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why it sounds good since I have surround sound.
Right. So like it just defaults to surround sound. So like it sounds fucked up on normal speakers or on headphones. And people are like, why does Netflix always sound fucked up? And it's like, well, it's because they have it set on this. And you're like, oh, so we should just fix that. Like, yeah, just fix it.
So anyway, hard abrupt right turn. I wanted to talk about this before we actually got into anything gaming related, even though we never really get into anything gaming related. But I saw Late Night with the Devil. Have you seen the previews for this movie?
Late Night with the Devil? No, I don't think so.
So it's got David Dastmalchian, the guy from Dark Knight, and he was the goofy Eastern European guy in Ant-Man. He played played Piter in Dune. But anyway, it's him. It's a 70s kind of found footage movie where he's a talk show host and he's like doing a Halloween episode and they bring on a girl who's possessed, and it's like it's a legit horror movie trying to be very 70s. It is fantastic. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh, the poster is great.
Yes.
The poster is absolutely a Hammer horror film poster.
I would not say it's the best horror movie, but I would say this is going to be a classic Halloween movie for me. It's got a very great Halloween vibe to it. And it's I liked a lot of the choices made in it. And maybe because I was super high watching it, this is the reason.
All right.
But the ending was very complex and it didn't over explain anything. In fact, I think it under explained a lot, but it left a lot to the viewer. It didn't treat the viewer like you're a fucking idiot, like most movies do nowadays. It's because okay. Gen Z can't handle trying to suss out information anymore in movies. I blame them. Them and boomers. Those are the two things that generation, those two generations have in common, is they cannot pull information from context. You know, it's just, it's like, what? How come that person didn't do that? Well, if it's implied that, well, I don't want it implied. I want it to be told to me. Boomers because they're dumb and can't handle it, and Gen Z because they're too lazy and can't look it up on the Googles. That's the reason.
You could look it up on Google.
I mean, you could hypothetically, but not while you're watching it. It's like if you're watching it like fresh. Well, then again, Gen Z doesn't go to the theater either, so. They're like, why would I watch a movie in a place when I could watch it at home on my tiny TV as opposed to a giant screen?
I think a lot of that is more like, why would I watch a movie? But
yeah, it's true. Like, why can't this be cut up into 115 15-second TikToks?
That reminds me of
God, I'm old.
That reminds me back in the days of yore when you'd
back
have to watch
in time.
Yeah, when you'd have to watch the anime on YouTube, but it's in parts, so it'd be like Yu-Gi-Oh season 2 episode 44 part 1 of 8. And you have to hunt down all the parts to watch it on YouTube. Oh man, that sucked.
Yeah, it was
I see Late Night with the Devil has some pretty fucking high Rotten Tomato scores as well, so
yeah. I mean, there was it's really funny because on Reddit there was like a big like people were angry because for one of the interstitials that they used AI art apparently. Mm-hmm. And it was like that scene from Family Guy where the guy's like, "You're a phony, a big fat phony." And I'm like, you know that movies have been secretly using AI for like a year and a half at this point. And like they've been using it in special effects for years. So it's like AI is coming. Don't get like all upset because of this. You know, you should have been upset a long time ago, but it's too late now. You're done. You're dead. It's over. The AI has won. We are at Judgment Day. It's like T6 at this point.
It's really boring. there's no cool robots and no explosive.
Yeah, we are in boring Doomsday or D-Day, whatever. What was it called? A Judgment Day. We're in boring Judgment Day.
Judgment Day. Yes. There's a there's another movie that I want to see called Stop Motion.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that?
I have not heard of Stop Motion.
It looks fucking good.
I'll look it up after the podcast.
Yes, the film is it's one word: stop motion.
Stop motion.
Stop motion. Yeah, it looks fucking. Mm-hmm. It looks fucking weird.
Did you see the movie that Joe Bob did last night?
I did not. No.
It's about a killer mutant bunny rabbit man.
That sounds fucking awesome.
It seems like one of those really terrible movies that they released in like 2010-ish. Mm-hmm. I can't tell for sure, but it does have Dominique Swain in it, who is, if you know, was from the remake of Lolita with Jeremy Irons, and Corin Nemec, a.k.a. Parker Lewis, who can't lose.
Parker Lewis can't lose.
He can't.
Yeah.
As much as you try, you're a fool, because you should know Parker Lewis cannot lose.
That's right. He can't lose. Is that is that other movie on Netflix or on Shudder?
Late Night with the Devil. Late Night with the Devil. Not yet. It will be soon on Shudder. I saw it in the theater because I had the week off, so I was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go see it." And you know what? I saw it on Thursday night. For a Thursday night, it was packed in the theater.
All right.
So that was very heartening. Not disheartening. It was very heartening.
More like fartening.
Yeah. So let's talk gaming. Adepticon just happened.
Adepticon.
4 straight days of solid funktastic gaming. they really brought the funk this year. It's, you know, so Chicago is known for 2 things: amazing food, and, well, I should say this. Chicago is known for the second best food in the nation. And by that I mean it's like, you can always say like one type of food, Chicago's got just good enough to be the second best in the nation. So you'll be like,
that's right.
You'll be like, man, you know, Texas got great steak, but Chicago also has great steak. Maybe not as great as Texas, but great. And it's like, well, pizza. It's like, yeah, a couple places, like let's say New York. People say New York's got the best pizza in the world, but Chicago's pizza, it's like a great second place.
It's solidly number 2.
Yeah, I would say Chicago is the best pizza in the world, but that's just me. And I will get into something about that later. But anyway, Chicago is also known for having probably the most unpredictable weather in the world. Probably next to like Bangladesh. Chicago has the weirdest weather in the world. It was gorgeous literally like 3 days before Adepticon, and then Adepticon happened and it snowed, which, you know, as you know, but it was snowed and it was like probably like, I don't know, like 35, 38 degrees. Right. So you don't have to wear a jacket if you're from Chicago. It's like, you know what? I haven't worn a jacket in a week. I ain't putting it on now. That's kind of that's the Chicago way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people who go to Adepticon are not from Chicago, so they don't know how to handle snow. They're like, oh my God, what is this falling from the sky? Is this some sort of asbestos? Is this like the Wizard of Oz where they're trying to simulate the poppies? Is this what's going on in real life? Am I going to die?
It's asbestos.
It's asbestos. Oh my God. Actually, in Schaumburg, it probably is asbestos, but Scumburg. So there were a lot of people wearing very heavy coats in Adepticon. So you know what that means, Steve? There was a lot of sweating.
Mm.
And these are amongst people who sweat while they stand, you know, while they stand up. It's just like all of a sudden they just flop sweats.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Late Night with the Devil, which takes place in the 1970s. Where everyone was incredibly sweaty. So was Adepticon this year.
All right.
Yes. So it was like the funk on that. Was it Friday or Saturday? Was just so no, it was Friday. It was so intense. I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
It was insanely busy. But they said they had 8,000 attendees this year, which is that's nuts numbers. Nuts.
That sounds like a wide awake nightmare. Not going to lie.
Yeah. So I went Thursday night for the big game, which was cool. You know, my usual, got to bring out the Titans and everything like that. Have fun. And then Friday, I just went just to kind of go shopping because I really didn't get to go shopping on Thursday. And I could barely move through the shopping area. It was so packed with people.
Damn.
And I was like, are all of you guys buying War Gods of Aegyptus? Because you seem to all be buying War Gods of Aegyptus. I just want to look. If you're going to buy War Gods of Aegyptus, buy your War Gods of Aegyptus. I'm just going to take a peek and see what they got.
Were they all buying War Gods of Aegyptus?
Probably. I have no fucking clue. That booth is there, and that booth had all of the cool Chris Fitzpatrick sculpted War Gods of Aegyptus that you could possibly want. Or War Gods of Olympus, War Gods of Hyboria, I think is the other one.
I don't know. I like War Gods. I think it's cool.
I know. It's the funny thing about War Gods of Aegyptus is you talk to anybody who played with Chris Fitzpatrick sculpts from like the early 2000s. And everyone's like, I really love these sculpts. These sculpts are fantastic. Then you get any of these wiener kids who started playing with 40K like 8th edition. And they're like, these sculpts are terrible.
They're not. They're awesome.
Where are my Tau?
No, those sculpts are awesome. I think they're great.
Kids these days, they don't even call them the Tau anymore.
The Tau. Do they still refer to it as versing their teams, though?
No.
Man,
you don't work for Games Workshop anymore, so that doesn't happen.
I want to verse their teams.
I'm going to verse their teams.
No, War Gods is cool. I like War Gods.
Yeah, I told you about this. I just don't understand how anyone, like, why would you pack up all your inventory for, like, being a game store, ship it up to Schaumburg and sell it at retail? Like, that makes no sense to me. Especially your workshop shit. Because everything else, like, I get it. Like, there might not be people selling... Fuck, what's a game that other people play? Infinity. Like, there might not be other Infinity sellers there. But this is work. This is, like, Workshop is literally at this convention with a full store full of their shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they are selling at retail. So if I wanted to buy Captain McNipples... the Space Marine Lieutenant for $50. I have a choice. I can either go to Workshop and buy it, and I know they will have it, or I could go to the retail store and, you know, support my local place instead. And they're selling it for retail as well. So I'm kind of like, well, this is just fucking stupid. I don't want to pay full price. I can just go on Amazon and get it cheaper. You need to just give me 10%. That's all I'm asking. But fuck them. Right. I don't get it.
Usually, yeah, I mean, that is weird. I don't know. I usually find that there's always, like, dudes running deals. So, I don't know. It is weird. It is weird to not have a, like, any deals.
Yeah, it was weird this year, too, because there wasn't a ton of, like, sellers. Like, people, like, just selling, like, product. There was a lot of, like, hey, look at this demonstration of our new airbrush setup that's made from MDF, and it's got, you know, all of these cardboard components, and if you smell it, you get cancer products. Like, there's a lot of those. There was a lot of booths of, like, hey, come see this person from this painting channel, this YouTube painting channel. And I'm just like, oh God, this is the worst. Fuck all these people. And it was, yeah, there was a lot of that, and it was I was just like, why are, like, this is like the biggest scam with Adepticon and going on currently with miniature gaming is the amount of people who, what's the word I'm looking for? The amount of people who are scamming people who can't paint, like making them feel like you could paint if, as long as you watch all of these videos and you have these specific brushes and these specific paints and, you know, an airbrush and all of this stuff, like then you can paint just like, you know, Captain.
I see.
But
so you're thinking it's like a, it's just like any other art thing where people are like, yeah, you can do it. Just grab your pencil. It'll be fine.
No. It's more of like almost like a weight loss scam, but for gamers who can't lose weight. Mm. It's like, if you have all of this stuff, you can paint now. In reality, it's like all you need is like the worst brush in the world that you could get from Hobby Lobby and terrible paints, and you could probably paint to the same level.
All you need is a brush with a point. That's all you need. A
brush with a point. That's exactly. I'm with you 100% on that. I just imagine this person who's like, man, I really can't wait to paint well. And so they like buy all of this shit and the most expensive airbrush and paints and everything like that. And they sit down finally and they paint their first model. And then it looks just as terrible as like the model that they painted with the cracker, with the apple barrel paints, you know. And they're just looking at this, go, son of a bitch.
Motherfucker.
And then they throw it down in anger. I
like it.
On Saturday, I played in Horus Heresy stuff, and I won like best painted, right? And I love it. Because I love getting like the best painted, because it makes me feel like I've done something with my time while painting. Uh-huh. Like, even though I horribly lose my games, it's like, you know what? I horribly lost, but my army looks fucking better. So fuck off. Kind of thing. It's like, yeah, it's like that. It's like my drag queen moment. I may have lost, but at least I look better than y'all. But you know what they gave me for like prize support is they gave me paints. And I'm like, why are you giving paints to the guy who won best painted? You should be giving that to the person who wins worst painted. Give them good paints.
I like it.
Yeah.
What paints they gave you though?
They actually gave me the Pro Acryl paints of the Signature series. They're kind of like, they're really nice. I've never actually painted with them, and I actually have been painting with the ones that they gave me because they gave me some like really cool colors to paint with.
All right.
Yeah, they gave me, what's the one I have it right here. It's they're purple. It's Royal Purple. Love this color. It's fantastic. Went on really well and smooth. And there was the other one that looked like a Sons of Horus green. I have it somewhere around here, but it was is this it? No, that's not it. But they're like all just really solid colors. I love how they go on airbrush, and they paint really solid over minis. So I was happy with it. I'm not going to switch over right now because I'm still kind of obsessed with the Vallejo game colors. Mm. But I wouldn't say no if I got more of them. If I'm looking for like a weird color and I see it, happen to see it, and I'm like, I'm going to use this color on these specific figures, I probably will buy them because I really like it. And also, you'll appreciate this. One of the prize supports that they just gave for gaming is this company that, called Villainy Ink, gave out these huge bottles of ink, like painting ink, during the game. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. It's enamel wash. Son of a bitch. So the guy was like, so I gave it to my partner and I was just like, you want to use these? Cause I don't use enamels. And they're like, oh yeah, sure. So I gave them the bottle that I got for like just prize support. Mm. And then when I won best painted, they gave me two more bottles of it. And I'm like, God damn it. But I'm talking to the guy, one of my people that I'm playing against, and they're like, oh yeah, these are really great. Well, first you have to, you know, paint your figure. I'm like, okay, I'm there with you. And then you use this, and then you have to thin it, and then you have to paint it on with this type of brush, and then you have to, I'm like, all of this.
No.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and then it's like, but then I go, it's like, yeah, I'm not big on enamels. And they're like, oh, you really should. It could take your painting up a notch. I'm like, motherfucker, I just won best fucking painted. Who are you to tell me about using enamels?
I don't think I've ever used it. I mean, have I ever used an enamel?
Did you ever use testers?
Oh yeah. No, I had to have because I used to paint. Yeah, I used to paint like the standard model kits all the time. So yeah. So I used to use enamels.
I get like it's a fad. It's like people think like it will help them with their painting.
I wouldn't want to use them on minis though.
Apparently enamel technology has come a long way, and whatever, I don't care that much, but I feel like I've gotten to the level of painting where I just don't need it, and I'm not using some fancy fad painting thing just because, you know, people think it's whatever. It'll slightly raise the bar on my figures. I honestly think like the closest I'm going to come to using enamel is GW contrast, and that doesn't require any sort of special sealant. It goes on just fine. If you know what
I mean. Yeah, I mean looking at some, because obviously this is the first I've heard of people using enamel wash on minis, and I'm looking at some side by sides. It's like, I don't know. It seems like a lot more work for like comparable results.
Thank you. That's exactly it. It's like when people used to dip their models, and it was, you know, like, yeah, you could dip your model, but you could also just use these washes and it'll take care of the same issue. And they're like, no, dunk. It's like, you gotta thin that first. Nope. Dunk.
We're dunking, baby.
We're dunking. And which is really funny, cause I'm using that bear stain quite a bit for for dunking.
My name's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
It's Dunk. There you go.
Dunkachino. I haven't used that bear yet. I'm gonna try it on my Tomb Kings. I'm gonna do spray, I'm gonna do contrast, and I'm gonna do that bear.
Just remember, get the blue cans because it's matte. Don't get the greens or the other ones, because those are like satin and gloss.
Yes, I got a matte one.
Okay, good. All right, so let's talk about, so GW did their big announcements for Adepticon, and I was, as a preview, very underwhelmed by the announcements.
You're not whelmed at all.
I am not whelmed. I'm not even whelmed. I'm subwhelmed. Underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed. All right.
Yeah, subwhelmed. So the big one, of course, is that they announced the new edition of AOS, which they said that they're redoing from the ground up, which does not sound necessarily like a good thing.
Yeah, they're doing an index edition.
What's an index edition, Steve?
So an index edition is, they've done it for 40K. And I think this is the first time they've done it for. Actually, no. An index edition they just recently did for fantasy as well. Warhammer, the Old World is an index edition game. So what an index edition game is you literally everything that exists for your game, done. Like, you do not care about forward compatibility. So like as soon as the new Age of Sigmar edition comes out, like your battle tome is useless. Like, it's done. It doesn't matter what your army is. Like, doesn't matter how new or how old it is. Like, you got a Gloomspike Gitz battle tome. Throw it in the garbage because you're not going to use it anymore.
I for one cannot wait for the bookshelves of half price books to be lined with, with battle tomes.
Yes. So every
selling for $25 a piece, and it's like these aren't worth that.
So this is literally everything is being changed, and they're releasing essentially a placeholder list for every single army at once when the new edition drops.
Which, let me tell you, for Old World and Horus Heresy was fantastic.
Yes, that's what they're doing for AOS.
Yeah, I always like it when they do that, and I think you agree with that too. It's like everything just comes out the gate balanced. So for a while, everything is going to basically do well against each other. You're not going to have a ton of codex creep until they start releasing codexes.
Yes, yeah. And hopefully, well, we'll see, because I mean, we haven't seen the rules yet. But I still stand by, if they do it like they did Old World, they can keep the balance for a very, very long time.
Yeah, and I was laughing because I asked this question on our Discord about terrain. But when I was looking at, they did a little article on like the new AOS, what's it coming for? And they were like, it's modular. Like, if you're going to play with this, you only need these rules. Right. And I think there was like only like one, it was like really dumb because there was only like one part of the rule set that wasn't included on one of the types of play. Everything else, it was all the same.
Yeah, no, because there's like, I guess they have like, there's the base rules, and then there are six additional like plugins.
Yeah, but all of the plugins are required for almost all models of play.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna use literally all of them when you're playing in a tournament. Like, yeah, they're not gonna be optional.
But it was like, there's four different like modes of play, and all of them like required all of them. It was just like the last one didn't require one book and required like the Seasons of War rules. But this was the thing that made me laugh, was that they were like terrain rules, and I'm just like, fucking terrain rules, like stop it with this fucking pre-made terrain shit. It's driving me up the wall. And that's why I asked, I was like, I asked our listeners, what are your feelings about the terrain rules? And I think most people kind of put it out there. It's like, terrain can be fun, but everyone really hates the way GW makes, like, you have to buy Buttfuck Manor. And if you don't have Buttfuck Manor, you don't get these bonuses and blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's real, like, we're going to sell you like really shitty shit and for your terrain. And it's like it's a major part of the game with AOS and 40K at this point. And a lot of people do not like it.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because they cranked that up in second edition, because second edition was the edition where they started making the added terrain for your army.
Yeah.
So like that was where like the ghost ship for the
Deepkin.
Deepkin, yes. The ghost ship for the Deepkin came out. The
I think you mean fish tank terrain.
The fish sector, yeah, it's great though. and then the trees for Nurgle,
Savannah. Yeah,
and for,
oh,
and for
Nurgle, yeah.
But
I remember those.
What they did is they let you buy extras in a lot of cases, or create more. So that was actually pretty toxic, like generally, like because that's not good. You don't want to have, you don't want to have someone build, like, you actually do not want to play against the Nurgle list with the 12 trees. It actually does suck. You do not want to play against that army. It's annoying as hell. So like that's bad. So they really scaled that back in third, and now it's like you get one. I don't even think there's a way to make more trees whatsoever for Nurgle. Like, I think the Nurgle thing is like, you literally get one. Like, it is like, this is your tree. Great. You know, put it down. And then the Sylvaneth, they can't take any extra trees, and I don't believe there's a way for them to spawn any extra anymore. So that's fine. So that's really where, like, I think the current version is a fine balance. Like, I like the idea of having a terrain piece to bring with your army. I think that's cool. I think that's thematic. I do not like the idea of it being like, I super hate the 40K one. Though the 40K one was the worst, where they just released generic terrain sets that cost points.
Yeah.
That was the worst. Yeah, do not do that. That was awful. Everyone hated that.
They still do. They still have it.
Is it still in there? That sucks. That's terrible. They need to get
and
that
away
out of
from
the
certain lists to work. You have to have it.
Yeah, they need to get that out of the fucking game. That's terrible. But for something like the current version of the feculent Gnarl Maw for Nurgle, I think that's great. I think it's very thematic. I think it's cool. I think buying one, you know, cool looking terrain piece looks good, and plus it looks cool on your army display board.
Yeah. But speaking of, they have the weird thing about fourth edition of AOS, the announcement at least, is they didn't show a single model from the new edition.
No, they teased what was going to be in the starter, but they didn't show anything.
I mean, isn't that weird? Do you think that's weird? I think that's weird.
I don't know. My personal guess is that they're not going to do teasers. They're literally just going to dump it all.
I know it's getting dropped in May, I think, but it's just like so weird that they didn't show a single model.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. It is kind of weird. But as I was saying, like I'm really looking forward to the new edition of AOS. I think I'm liking what I'm hearing. I do like there are things that sound little but are actually going to be massive. Like the removal of Battleshock is great. Battleshock as a rule, not a terrible rule. Idea is fine. Like I get it. Implementation, awful. Like it became one of those things where like basically like half the armies did not care that it was a rule that existed. Like they just didn't care. And then the other half were like, oh shit, Battleshock's gonna absolutely fuck.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So you do not want a rule that is like that, like in your game. Like a universal rule should not have impact on only half of your armies. So getting rid of that is great. I think that's very good. And the other big one is melee range is becoming 3 inches instead of 2 inches, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but that is going to fix a lot of the blob issue in AOS and what the blob issue is. So this is I'm gonna nerd out for a second here.
Everyone knows that extra inch is a huge deal.
It is. So what it is basically like one of the complaints about AOS is that the game would just become blobs in the center of the board. Like you would just like suddenly like, you know, you'd have your armies you'd set up, and then as soon as combat started to hit, you would slowly just start to create this like big pile of miniatures kind of in the middle of the board, and then, you know, that was the game. And it was fair. That was legitimate because a lot of the times that is what the games would turn into. However, adding this extra inch of combat range essentially means you're now going to involve, to put it in Warhammer Fantasy terms, an entire additional rank of models in every fight. So that is going to speed up the game significantly, because now, you know, in theory, like if you had 20 models fighting before, you're now going to have 30 models fighting, God, which is a whole lot more attacks.
My God. What's happening?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes. So it's good. Yes. I'm excited.
You excited. But because of that, we talked about this last week, and we talked about tiering box sets, right?
Yes.
We talked about
and we said we're just going to do starters because there's too many boxes.
Well, that's, yeah, we were talking about that, and then I sat down and started like calculating all of the box sets that GW had released, and I was like, oh man, there's over 60 that I would have to catalog and do. And I'm like, I can't do that. So I talked with Steve, and I was like, listen, man, we should just do the core game box sets, and we should rank them in terms of like how good of box sets they are.
Yes. So I've done so.
However, neither of us did any sort of criteria on what we consider. So mine was like pretty, like I broke it down into like price and figures and how cool the sculpts were and how good the figs were. I have a feeling Steve was just basically looked at it and said, this is cool, this sucks. Like, I don't want to speak for you, Steve. So,
all right. So,
is that close to your ranking?
Like, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
So, how do you want to do it? Do you want to do it chronologically and then give the rank, or do you want to do like start at the bottom and give your rank?
So the way I did it is I just split it by game. I did 40K, I did fantasy, and I did Sigmar, and I just picked like my favorites to my least.
You didn't do loader either.
I didn't do loader. Loader was too weird. Like I mean, if we're just talking starters, then it's like the one that has an absolute fuck ton of Meta Minas Tirith is the best one.
the Return of the King one.
Yeah, the Return of the King one is the best one.
Okay.
Like if you want to talk starters for Lord of the Rings, okay, we'll do that. I don't know. Lord of the Rings. I didn't. I don't know. They're almost like that. Jokingly set aside, all of the Lord of the Rings starters are roughly as good as one another. Like there's no way to really tier them.
Oh, I've tiered them, sir. And right, we'll do it at the end. I'll go over my loader, tier.
You do it.
Okay, so let's start off chronologically, and then you give your tier, because my actual first two, which are the first two box sets, I couldn't tier.
Okay.
So like the Warhammer Fantasy Battles 4th edition was the first one, came out in 92. And that had the High Elves versus Goblins.
Yes, all plastic, all monopose.
Yes, for $50. Which, and I also did adjusted price for today's. So if it came out for $50 back in 1992, that's $112, right?
Hey, look, and now we have money.
So it came out with 102 figures, but I couldn't rank it because it's actually not a great starter because you can't really do anything with the figures inside. They're not really playable. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Did you put a tier to them?
I did. That is my lowest. That is not my lowest tier.
Okay. That's also, is that like a like D or?
I just did a really simple ABC.
Okay, you did ABC. Okay, so I did the traditional S through D tier.
Yeah, I did. Oh, I'm sorry. S ABC. I did S ABC.
Okay. Yes, S to I actually have 1D on my list, so that's the lowest rank. And then there's the 40K second edition box set, which had Marines and Orcs, 80 figures, in 93, which is actually $108 because in 92 the economy was a little worse. I think Clinton is the reason why it's $108 with adjusted, because Clinton was elected in 92 and the economy started getting better. So there you go. What did you give that one? I also did not give this one a tier because it didn't really work in terms of tiers.
also C tier.
Okay, so just to let you know, my ranking is based on price, sculpts, usability, and components, like the components that you get in the box set.
Mine is entirely based on vibes.
I'm here for it, Steve. So then we get to this is my first ranking. It's the fifth edition box set with the Bretonians versus Lizardmen.
Brats versus Lizardmen.
So there was 88 figures in that box. I believe it retailed for either 50 or 60 bucks. I couldn't remember. And because you know what? It's almost impossible to find the original costs online.
It is. It's really hard. It's really hard.
And I had to go like almost strictly based off memory. Once again, 96 came out to about $100 retail in today's money, which is a decent deal. And if you were lucky enough, you could get the metal Bretonian Lord in that box set. It was an exclusive figure that would come with it.
Also had the great V-shaped Fallen Giant template.
It did have that was part of the components. I thought I gave those components a solid B because of the cardboard.
I'm giving this box set an easy A.
Easy A. Okay, I gave it a C. What brought it down was mostly that. The usability of the army was really low. You couldn't really do too much with the stuff that you got in the box set as is. It also that was like two armies that no one ever played. So
see, for me, I want to throw out. So when I was judging the play, because of course I thought of playability for the box sets. I did not consider them outside of their intended purpose. So for example, you might be surprised by my Age of Sigmar second edition box set.
Probably will be. Yeah. I gave it it's on the C tier. I gave it it's mid tier.
Very good. Yes. For me, easy A. I love the card stock terrain. I love the little house. I think that came with the house and then a shed. It came with like three or four pieces.
It came with like three pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Plus, you got the white dwarf that was included. You got another piece of terrain.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Of cardboard terrain. It's not even cardboard. It's just paper stock. The next one was third edition 40K. This is the classic box set. Black Templars versus Dark Eldar. 31 figures, including the first multi-part land speeder kit. And that came out in 1998, retailed for, I think, $50 when it was initially dropped, which is $96 retail. You can really tell how good the economy was in the 90s when you could see like the inflation numbers are actually getting lower, which makes me really sad. But yeah, it's like bring back the Clinton economy. Liberals.
You got to have sexual relations with the woman.
Gotta have sexual relations with that woman. What'd you rank this one at?
I rank it as a B tier.
Okay.
I don't think so. It's not exciting. It's really not. It's a shit ton of infantry and one speeder. Like there's nothing sexy in that box.
But what about the palm trees, Steve? What about the palm trees?
I would feel much better about those palm trees if they had a base for, being able to use them as terrain because you can't use them as is. Like they don't make any sense.
This was the first one that, and the only one where I went, okay, on drop, I would have given this an A. But in hindsight, I give it a C.
Yeah, I'm giving it a C as well. I'm putting it in my lowest tier.
Yeah. As on drop, I'm like, holy shit, this was amazing. Multi-part Marines, a fucking plastic land speeder. What are the Dark Eldar? Are they the Eldar, but dark? This is crazy.
The Deldar.
Holy shit, it comes with palm trees and ruins.
Ruins.
But it did come with a full rule book, which was cool. And it was definitely a prototype of what was to come. But it's kind of a boring third ed box set. And hindsight, you get 10 Marines and a land speeder. It's like, come on. Mm-hmm. And 20 Dark Eldar. 20 Deldar.
Yeah, you get Deldar. Deldar goons.
So I gave that a C. Next one up is a classic, the 6th edition fantasy box. 73 figures with Empire and Orcs. Retailing for $75 when it came out, which was $137 worth of buying power in the year 2000, which I have to also say, George W. Bush was elected in 2000, which you can see why the inflation is going up again. I'm going to mention the politics in the entire thing. The politics of the year was the year 2000. Britney Spears was dominating the charts with her
dominating the airwaves
with Oops, I Did It Again. We still were bamboozled by Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, by thinking it was a good movie.
They're friends.
Yes. Gladiator was stealing our hearts and our dollars at the box office. So what'd you give the 6th edition box set?
The 6th edition box set, I'm also putting in C. I'm putting it in the lowest. Really? I'm putting in the lowest tier. It's not I don't know. It's just not exciting. There's nothing in there that like that has like a wow factor. I don't like it.
I will agree with you that there's nothing that really give it a wow factor, but I gave it a B tier. I think that everything, this is the reason why I gave it a B tier. You basically got two units and a hero character and something special with both armies. So to me, the army's relatively usable right out of the box. The sculpts I think were decent for the time. Nothing that was like blowing my mind, but then again, it was nothing that's like awful. Like some of the, okay, so the spearmen, the spearmen and the handgunners had some bad sculpts in there, but it was still, I think, for the time, really cool to have. Yeah. And they were single piece models, so
they're really only bad sculpts upon very close inspection. They look great on the table,
You got the full rule book. And you got some little cardboard terrain in there. I really love the box set for that edition. It has a special place in my heart. It's also got that vibes. It passed the vibes check for me.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me, and the other biggest thing for me, is there's no wizards. So that's a huge
wizards.
That's a huge knock in that edition. So
yes,
that's why I place it in C tier.
Yeah, and actually, if you had that box set for the Old World release in 2024, that would be two really great starting armies for that. Like legit, that would be like a fantastic starter set for the Old World.
You're not wrong.
All right, so the next few are loader releases because, you know, that's 2001, 2, and 3. We'll skip that towards the end. The 40K was the next one for 4th edition, which was the classic Battle for McCraggy. 36 figures retailing for $45, which was $75 in today's money.
Mm-hmm.
You got Marines versus Tyranids, 36. You got some really fantastic plastic terrain and cool stuff in there. Steve, what did you give the Battle for McCraggy?
I give Battle for McCraggy an A tier.
Wow, an A tier.
An A tier, yes. Almost the highest. I think Battle for McCrag is a phenomenal box set. I think it's a phenomenal starter for its time. I think it's a phenomenal starter now. I think it has good, it has decent variety. You know, it was a new pioneering sculpting technology for your space marines.
Computers.
Yeah, it came with very cool terrain, usable terrain, mind you, as well. The box set itself was very fun to play. I think that is everything you want. It's not the best box set, but it's everything that you want in a box set.
Yes. You know what? you almost convinced me to raise it up a tier from what I had. I put it as a C. And here's the reason. Those the sculpts at the time were not great, and not even for the era, because they were very shitty monopose figures for an era where we started getting away from that. I mean, the third edition box set had multi-part, which I get, they just threw the sprues that were actually going to be released later into a box. They weren't like a starter sprue, but I feel like the very monopose Marines and Tyranids really hurt it. The only part of my ranking that I gave it a huge boost for was the terrain and like all the components, because fuck if they didn't do a fantastic job with the components in that box set.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like it's, yeah, it's just, I agree with that. So,
and also it was the first one that gave the mini rule book, which,
yes,
I'm not always a huge fan of the mini rule book. I know you're a big fan of the mini rule book.
Big fan of mini rules.
I like mini rules mixed with the big rules. So like if I have the big rule book in the starter set, I can buy the mini rules separately. I'd prefer to do that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of like the shortcut stuff. So I do like the full size rule book that has your like your painting guides, your backgrounds, blah, 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 blah. I think the mini rule books are great and should only have rules.
Yes. My problem with mini rule books is I have big, fat Polish hands. So it's very hard for me to stumble through rule books like that are that small.
Well, then you
I'm like the rock fighter.
You need to get a giant iPad and put your PDF rule books on your iPad. Oh,
I can't read rules off an iPad. Once again, my hands are too big. I'm accidentally touching stuff I don't want to touch. It's I'm literally the rock fighter. I'm like, these hands are strong hands.
Sweet, sweet can.
Okay, moving on. Then it's Minds of Moria. We're gonna skip that one. Warhammer Fantasy Battle 7th edition box set. This is the Battle for Skull Pass.
Battle for Skull Pass. All right, yeah. I'm gonna lead this one.
Okay, easy, you go ahead.
Easy fucking S tier. Like okay. S tier box set. It's not even close. It has literally everything. It's so fucking good. I do not think Battle for Skull Pass has I do not think there's a better starter set that exists for any Warhammer game than Battle for Skull Pass. It has every single thing in Warhammer Fantasy, every type of character. There's the goblins have a wizard, they've got Cav, they've got a monster, they've got a general, like literally everything in the game of Warhammer is encapsulated in that box set. S tier easy.
I gave it an A plus tier. The only reason I did not give it an S tier is very, very.
Is it petty? Because that's great.
It's kind of petty. So it's 106 figures. We got dwarves versus goblins. The sculpts are fantastic. Here's my problem. You only get 8 dwarf minor figures. Why didn't and they give you 12 warrior figures? Why didn't they give you 10 minors and 10 warriors so you can have a nice even unit to start out with? I hate the 8-figure starter. Like that's fucking stupid. That's my petty reason right there.
I like it.
That's the pettiest of reasons.
I like it.
And actually, in my pros and cons that I wrote out for it, it says miners should have had 10 men in unit. Like I wrote it out.
That's awesome.
Also, it has the mini rule book in it too, which is fine. I mean, I shouldn't base it off that. Because the mini rulebook is very nice, but I rarely use the mini rulebook as opposed to the big rulebook. And it's my hands issue. I did want to say, though, that it is at 106 figures. It retailed for, $60, which was $93 in 2006 money. So it's still a really fantastic deal. Was it? Oh, no. Yes, it was $96. Sorry, I was looking. But I mean, like, it is as close as you're going to get to perfection for me. There's only one box. There's a few box sets that I think are S tier, but none of them are actual core sets. I'm going to spoil that for you.
Okay.
All right. Going on.
I only stuck to core sets. Like,
yeah.
And again, my statement of this being the best box set. Is strictly in the or core sets. That's strictly in the terms of starters. This is the best starter. I think there are better box sets as well. But carry on.
Yes, no, and I agree with you. I think this is the best starter out of any of the starters that Games Workshop has ever produced.
Yeah,
it's so for core games.
Yeah, so good.
All right, so then we have the 5th edition 40K box set. I believe this is black something. It's with the Orcs and Marines that they put out. 5th edition box set, Battle 46 for black figures.
Pass or whatever.
Yeah, something. This is when they started doing like the... This is before they started doing the name generator. So it's Battle for something or other.
Yes.
Not just like Night Fart, you know, whatever, you know. Oh, this is a Night Fart box set. Yeah, I know for sure. Space Wolves versus, I don't know, Necrons, Night Fart.
I like Night Fart.
So retailing for $60, adjusted for inflation, 88.21. This is when Obama was elected. So once again, Democrat in office, prices go down in terms of inflation. So what do you think of this one?
I think it's good. I think it's a solid B. I don't think there's anything super sexy in it. I don't think there's anything awful about it. Yeah, it's a solid B. It's a good, you know, it's like, oh yeah, it's a good starter.
I gave it an A. I think the sculpts are fantastic. I think the components are really nice. It does give you the small rule book, whatever. I think that the variety that you get with 40K puts it very, very equivalent to Blackfire Pass. It's like the 40K version of Blackfire Pass, and people just don't like it because the orcs in that edition were dog shit. So that's why no one really likes that starter. But that's not saying a lot, because orcs have been dog shit in every edition of 40K.
No, there was one brief period of time where there was the knob biker list. The knob biker list was busted because it was using the really specific, and I like that this army. So all right, so get ready for a little bit of a tale, 40K heads. This army being the best for the best reason. It was a rules esoteric nonsense reason, where the way you assigned wounds in that edition was based on equipment, and you could carry over, and wounds didn't have to go to the same model. So what you would do is you take a huge squad of knob bikers, and every one of them would have one distinct piece of gear. So when they took damage, you would go, this knob biker is taking one wound. And when they took the next one, you go like, this knob biker is taking one wound. So every single knob biker would tank a single point of damage before you even had to remove a model. And on top of that, you put everything into the squad. So they had like rerollable saves. They had cover that couldn't be negated. So on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. That list was so stupid. And it was so funny because it was clearly like, it was just like, oh, because the way that the rule was written, the rule was clearly written as a way, because they were like, we don't like that, you know, your last cannon guy is going to die automatically because he is the only guy in range. Like, people hated that because they're like, ah, you know, he's like a special model. I don't want him to be, you know, killed so easily. So they tried to implement a way of assigning wounds that would be like, okay, your special models won't die as easily as they were. And it's like, oh, that's great. But they didn't factor in the case of, you know, taking a 15 man bike unit where every single model's equipped differently to exploit the fuck out of that rule. So there you go. That is the one time orcs were good in 40K for sure.
There you go. The box set, I was looking it up during your explanation. I was listening, but I looked it up. Assault on Black Reach was the name of the box set. And that was
Reach around.
Yeah. And I wanted to say, though, if you actually look at the sculpts that were released for that edition, they were fantastic. You got 10 Marines, 5 Terminators, a Dreadnought versus a Orc boss, like 20 boys, 5 knobs, and the Defcoptas, which were only available in that box set. So if you wanted Defcoptas for your Orc army, which you wouldn't because no one played Orcs in that edition, because as I said, Orcs were ass that edition, you wouldn't have Defcoptas. And even if they were the great edition that Steve was talking about with the bikes, you still wouldn't have Defcoptas.
Mm-hmm. True.
So there you go. But I did give it an A just because I feel like it was a fantastic, like all the sculpts were really, really nice in there. So then we have the Fantasy 8th edition, the last edition of Fantasy, 70 figures, Elves versus Skaven. Retailing at $125. This was 2012 money, so after the housing crisis, and we were all afraid that Mitt Romney was going to get elected. So it was actually adjusted for $171. That's a ridiculous amount of money. But anyway, It was $80 retail. The next one was the Hobbit box set that came out. So that was the $125. This was $80 retail, $114 in 2010 money. Mm. Where'd you rank this one?
I put this one as an A.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is an A.
This is Blood Island or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got my actual complaint about it is that it's bad to buy multiple copies.
I mean, it kind of was.
Well, it's because you got the High Elves made the multiple copies. So like for the Skaven, multiple copies was great. Like yeah. Hell yeah, because you got extra mortars, extra warfire throwers. Like for the Skaven side, multiple copies was fantastic. For the Elf side, multiple copies fucking sucked because like you do not need that many griffins, you do not need that many mages, you definitely do not need that many Illyrian Reavers. So it was very uneven on the buying multiples.
Yes, the Sea Guard, you would need at least another unit of that, and you'd need another unit of the Sword Masters. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you were correct in everything else.
I think that should be something that they take into consideration simply because I think it's wasteful.
It's very wasteful. I agree. Like the Illyrian Reavers, you did not need that many of them.
No.
You did not need that. Yes, the guy on the Griffin. However, you could do a lot of cool conversions with that Griffin.
That's true.
Yeah. And the general on there as well. But yes, you are correct. The Skaven were fantastic. I give it an A. Just because I think it was like a really, really cool box set. But yes, you are correct. It should be a B tier because it's based upon criteria for other stuff. It should be probably pulled down a little bit. But I think the vibe check on it was boosted it to an A. Then we have the 40K 6th and 7th edition box set, because they use the same box set for both, which was the Marines versus the Dark Angels versus Chaos.
Yes, the Dark Vengance.
Yes. Dark Vengance.
Dark Vengance.
That's funny. What did you give this one? 48 figures, retailing for 65, which is about $90 originally on launch. It went up, boosted up to like $100 on relaunch for 7th, but whatever.
Yeah, a solid B tier. Okay. There's nothing too shiny or too dusty in this box. That's what I say. I like the cultist models a lot. I think they're cool. So overall, like I said, I mean, it's just kind of cool. I do not like that they did like a weird special character Dreadnought instead of just like a generic Chaos Dreadnought with maybe like some options. That's just me being nitpicky. Like I think so there you go. So that's why I think it's solid B tier.
I gave it a C tier, but this is also for petty reasons. Would you like to know my petty reasons for C tier?
Absolutely, those are the best reasons.
It's fucking Dark Angels.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah. Who the hell wants to play Dark Angels? Like, you buy the box set and you're like, oh, sweet. These Chaos guys are really generic. Like, just regular Chaos guys. I could paint them in any, you know, color, anything like that. And you get Marines and they're like, Dark Angels. You get all of these. Like, no one wants to play Dark Angels. No one likes Dark Angels. They're terrible. And you get three bikes in there and like five Deathwing Terminators and they got all that stupid shit all over them. And you're like, I don't want any of this nonsense. I don't want to deal with any of this nonsense. Even to this day, my Dark Angels are still sitting in the box, unpunched, unput together, just because I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. So yes, that's my petty reasons why it's a C, because of the fucking Dark Angels.
All right, I like it. I approve. I slam my gavel down. I'll allow it.
Then we get to the AOS first edition. 47 minis, Stormcast Eternals versus the Khorne Blood Boys, or whatever they're called.
The Blood Boys.
Released for $125 in 2015, which inflates to $165.98. We were such a happy people back then. We're in the middle of doing Game Classy at this point. Trump hadn't been elected yet. We're still dealing with the last years of Obama. He wore a tan suit, which was like the biggest issue of the day. Put mustard on a hot dog. You know, it's like, God, we were such a simpler people back then. I mean, people thought that they could be racist again because we had a black president. and hint, we couldn't. But yeah. So what'd you give the first AOS box set?
I give the first AOS box set a C.
Ooh.
C tier, my lowest tier.
Really?
Yes, my lowest tier. Simply because I'm grading it on its own merits, and on its own merits, it had a fucking unplayable rule set.
Okay, I'm with you on that one.
You couldn't, was it good? I don't fucking know. How many points were these guys? Nobody fucking knows. There's no fucking points in this game. What the shit? Are these units good? Is this a balanced army? I don't fucking know. Maybe one side is 100,000 points and the other is 5 points. That wouldn't be very balanced. Yeah, no, fucking terrible. Like, fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it in its stupid ass. On every other aspect, I mean, cool sculpts, values there for models. The factions are cool. If you play either Khorne or fucking Sigmarines, like, you should have one half of the starter. Like, it's kind of like that. It's very much like a workhorse. Like, yeah, like, you'll probably use the figures in this starter at some point if you play either of these factions. So there you go.
So I did it for the same reason. I gave it a C. Originally, I had it as a B tier when I did this list initially on my first pass, because I really like the sculpts. And I think that it was actually really nicely playable if you bought two starters. You had a really fleshed out army once they released the rule set with the first General's Compendium. And that's when I bought the first set, is after they came out with the General's Compendium. And you could actually go back in the Game Classy archives. The episode's name was Age of Shitmar.
That's right.
where we bitch about how there's no points in this game, like,
and make fun of the stupid rules, like the if the player has a mustache, their guy was better.
Yes,
that was like, that was the worst. That was like, or like the Cetra one, if you kneel down, you lose the game.
Yes, it was. That was the. There was a lot of problems. They treated their players like idiots, and I don't think that's a mistake they will ever make again. Is treating us like we don't know what the fuck we're doing. But I really like the sculpts. I'm kind of mad that I sold off all of my painted Khorne guys a couple years ago, just because I wasn't doing anything with them. And I'm like, I'm never going to play with these. So I sold them off, and I kind of regret that, because I wish I kept them for Old World. I would have just rebased them, because the Khorne guys would still worked out in a corner, in a regular like fantasy Khorne army.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, whatever. C'est la vie.
Ceslavis.
So in my notes it says like, pros, nice sculpts, cons, kind of a useless army. But yeah, I ended up going with the C, just because it did treat the players like idiots.
Yes, very good.
Then we have the 40K 8th edition box set with Marines versus Nurgle. This was the first big re-release of 40K with the what are those called? The Primaris. The first Primaris box
set. Dark Imperium.
The Dark Imperium. 53 figures. Retailing for a whopping $160 in 2017 money. Mm-hmm. Of course, this was after Trump became president and everything became more expensive. But it was okay, because we had Trump as president. He was going to fix everything, right, Steve? He was going to take down the deep state and drain the swamp.
The swamp was too powerful.
The swamp was too powerful for him, though.
That's right.
They photoshopped him onto pictures of with that Jeffrey Epstein.
The invincible, unstoppable man was vinced and stopped.
Yes. What'd you give this box set?
I give it a B.
You give it a B?
I give it a B. Yeah. I mean, like, I know there's a lot of new stuff, but like, I don't know, man. It's just a fucking bunch of guys versus a bunch of guys. It's like. So like it's like a weird, so it's a weird one. So like I because I said, like, most of my stuff is vibes. So like, yeah. I tried to think of it from like I've never seen this game, or I'm actually trying to start with this, and like it's just not exciting. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, it's like there's like 10 similar looking guys versus 10 similar looking guys, and there's no, like, there's no tank, or there's no terrain. There's nothing that makes me look at that box and go like, holy fuck, this is a box that's awesome. Now, I'm sure there's a bunch of people who are going to be like, well, wait, no, that box was really good, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, it's because you already play the game. Like, if you already play this game, this box set's nice. But it's a starter set. It shouldn't have the most appeal to people who already play the game.
No, I'm with you. It's I gave it a B as well. I think it was, the stuff that was in there was really cool. Like, if you looked at the models, they were like really nice sculpts, like really heroic. You could see the good guys, you could see the bad guys. My problem was that for 53 figures, it cost $160. Like, that's insane. Now, we're all used to it at this point, but that's not enticement for, like, new players. Mm. The when the prices get up that high, that really prices out a lot of people who just walk into a store and you're trying to be like, hey, you want to get into this game? Oh, yeah, this looks really cool. It's $160 for this box set. And especially because it's 53 figures, when the AOS 5th edition box set was released 2 years earlier for, what is it, $35 cheaper.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm sure you noticed there's no through, like, and if anyone's been listening to the pricing, like, there's no through line.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that ever makes sense. Like, they'll do a release that has more models than they did for the last one, and it'll cost less than the last one. There is not actually a through line. Like, I don't know how they set their prices.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's yeah. And then you're looking at it and you're like, wow. The other issue I had with it was that, like, the Nurgle stuff looked really cool, but for first time painters, that's a really hard army to get into, like, the painting style of. There's lots of, like, little knobs and pustules and stuff like that that you want to look cool. That takes a little bit of skill to paint.
Yeah, yeah, it actually is kind of hard because especially if you want to do, like, the effects like they have on the box where they show, like, the rotten stuff kind of bleeds into the more healthy skin, so you get those, like, color, those cool color transitions. Like, that's not a fucking beginner paint job.
Yeah, that's not a beginner painting army. So, I mean, that's just part of it. Next up, Soul Wars, released in 2018. We're deep in Trump presidency right now. It's $160, just the same as the starter edition for 40K. Mm-hmm. And this was the Stormcast versus Night Haunt, 44 models, so less figures than the previous edition and the last edition of 40K. What were your thoughts? What level rank do you put this at?
I throw this strictly in a B tier. I think it's significantly better than the first edition starter set. I think it has good variety. There's a lot of cool characters. The fact that they added casting, so, like, there's every phase of the game is represented in this box set. You get your casters. There's a shooting phase because you got the ballistas. The army feel is there. You have a huge horde of undead versus the Stormcast. Really good starter set. Totally useless in terms of converting it to the actual game, because a bunch of this stuff apparently is not legal army sizes or unit sizes for the undead. I did not know that when I had seen this before, but yeah, apparently there's a wrong number of you've said this. There's a wrong number of models in the unit, which is, like, totally wild. But anyway, so there you go.
Yeah, I gave it a D, and that D stands for dog shit. This was one of the worst releases ever for Games Workshop. And here's my reasons. One, the Stormcast Eternals were a really weird choice for the box set. Like, the specific type that they use, like, Roby, like, magic using Stormcast Eternals. Really dumb choice. The Night Haunt were also really weird. It wasn't as mass as you think. If you actually look at what they put in there, it was kind of like, wow, this almost looks like the Dark Elder from the third edition. Like, what is going on here? The usability in the game is completely nil. Like, it would take forever it takes math to get this up to a usable army. And I'm talking not, like, easy math. I'm talking, like, ratios. Like, to figure out, like, cost to buy. And even if you cost and bought the units to, like, their usable size, they are not great. it's dog shit. I do agree, though, it is very usable. And it's very usable out of the box for the specific box scenarios that they gave with you. And every phase is represented in the game, so it's more of a usable box set. But yes, I think it's dog shit. But I respect your opinion, Steve.
Yeah. So there you go. But yeah, I never actually bought it. So yeah, I did not know that there was there were uneven sizes. Well, I mean, I didn't buy it because, I mean, I wasn't playing the Ghosts or
Stormcast.
So, like, it's just not something I bought. So, like, I would not have been caught with the, like, oh, this isn't enough for a unit.
Yeah. But just imagine being a new player buying that, and they're like, okay, I want to expand this out so I could play it with my armies, and you're like, oh, this is dog shit.
That's that's pretty bad. The only way, well, you know what? I wonder. So, because that was, this was also the first, if I remember correctly, this was also the first edition of AOS that had the staged starters, where they had like the one that was like one unit aside, and then it went up, and then there was like two units aside. You know what I'm talking about? There was the smaller starters. So I wonder if you,
I remember specifically you could not do that, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the stage starters. It did not have the stage starters. That started with the next edition.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say maybe the unit sizes math out correctly if you buy like the one that doesn't have the heroes in it. Because it's the same stuff as your starter box, but it doesn't have the big heroes. So yeah. So you don't actually duplicate models that you don't want to duplicate.
Ratios. So there was like the three Stormcast guys that were like the evocators or whatever, like they were like the bigger, like kind of like elite unit, but you had to have a unit of five. So even if you bought another box, you'd have six.
Yes.
So it was not great that way.
Yeah.
The Ballista was cool though. Finally, for 40K, now we have the ninth edition. This came out in 2020, the height of the pandemic. It was right around the height of the pandemic, because I think it came out in May of 2020. There was 51 figures, Marines versus Necrons.
Yes, Indominus.
Coming in at $199, which was $240 in inflation rates. So just to go to show you, thanks, Trump. What would you give this one?
I give this one an A.
An A, nice.
I give it an A because the minis are all very cool. They have good variety between both factions. You've got different styles of troops. You've got bikers for the Marines. You've got the cool fucking War of the Worlds walker.
Tripods,
for,
yeah.
Yeah, for the Necrons. The Necron characters are cool. The Necrons have some weird models too, which I liked. You know, they had some like weirdo dudes. And then the Marines have those really cool veterans. I'm a fan. I think it's a solid one. I mean, it's kind of troop heavy again, but I think it has the bigger models make up for that too. So it also looks like you get a lot of value.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you in that it looks like you get a lot of value. I gave it a B plus. I didn't like, this was one where I wanted to give it an A and I wanted to give it a B, but it was really hard for me to pick between. So I just went B plus, A minus. Mm. My bigger problem is the Marines don't kind of represent Marines. They're kind of like really weird special units, and you should really have just like standard troops in a starter, if you get me. But they just wanted to show off the new models. So and right. I get that. But you really want to sell it to a new player. You give them the Marines. You give them like, you give them the men on the ground troops, right?
Right.
But the Necrons are fucking fantastic in that box set.
Yeah, the Necrons are really cool.
Yeah. And ninth edition wasn't a great edition from what I've heard, but it was still, I think, a great solid starter. Next up, we're getting last edition of Fantasy. We're getting AOS Dominion.
AOS Dominion.
Seven figures. Yeah. Released for $200, which is $237 in inflationary numbers. You can tell where we're living right now. Released in 2021. What did you give Dominion?
I give Dominion an A.
An A.
An A. I think it is the best Age of Sigmar starter set, easily. I think it has an incredibly good variety of everything in there. You got like the special characters are really dope. You've got shooting from the orc side. You've got the like the very cool bodyguard characters for the Stormcast side. There's the Hobgrots for the Cruel Boys. Cruel Boys have a shaman. It's very cool. Every army has something very cool in it. The things that are bad about it are strictly unrelated to its use as a starter, unrelated to its use as light. Like the units in it are bad. Like metagame wise, like the Cruel Boys are not a strong army. So like, it's not super popular because the Cruel Boys are not very good. And then of course, the other thing that's important is like the Stormcast are a pretty decent army right now, but basically none of the units in this starter set are good for the Stormcast right now, like metagame wise. So yeah, it's really hard to be critical about the starter set when you're talking about like, is it good in the game meta wise? Like that's kind of, I don't know. I don't think that should be like a part of the discussion when you're tiering a starter.
You know, I kind of agree with you. I gave it a B, and it's just because it did not pass the vibe check for me. Everything that you're saying is correct, but it's like when I'm looking at like the Stormcast sculpts are so much better than they've been in the past. But the vibe check for me is more about the Cruel Boys. I just don't like the way they look. it's a very petty reason, and that's why it's a B as opposed to like an A, which I agree with you. It probably should be an A. It's just it's really expensive, and it's I just don't like the way that the orcs look. And it's they're not sculpting poorly.
The MSRP is expensive, but if you want to buy Dominion, it is not expensive.
No, it's not expensive. No, you could buy that cheap, and I regret buying it new.
Dominion is hang on, let me look at this. Dominion is I'm loading up right now. We're gonna get this live. We're gonna get this live, people. I'm looking up the price, because what did you say? You had the price handy, right?
$200. It was $200 retail.
Okay, so but adjusted for inflation, you said it was $237, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna go off of $237 because we're going on today's prices. $104.
Yeah, exactly. You could it's about 50% off. You could find it generally cheaper anywhere. Because they printed so many of that edition. They thought that edition was going to be huge.
Yeah, they did. Wasn't there? Oh, right. But you know what? I remember this was hot off the tails of that like big controversy where there was the huge scalping thing, right? With the starters. Yeah,
which is still a problem with Games Workshop. But the problem was that people wanted the 9th edition 40K box set, which was the Marines versus Necrons upon release. Yes. They said, and this is the reason GW said, it's going to be a limited release. We're only going to do so many copies of the big expensive starter for $200. And everything else is going to be those tiered starters like you had talked about.
Yeah,
everyone wanted the big starter. And so Games Workshop actually even walked back on that and was like, well, we're going to make this big expensive starter available because it sells incredibly well. So they released it for Dominion and they were like, well, we're going to have enough copies available for everybody. So it's not just print on demand or whatever they wanted to until they got the restock going.
Yes.
And it was just way more than people were willing to buy at that point. Yeah. And then we have the last starter box set, which is 40K 10th, which was the Marines versus Tyranids just released last year.
Leviathan.
Or this year, I should say. Leviathan. It is 70 figures. The most amount of figures that have been released since the 8th edition box set. It was released for $250. The most expensive starter set ever released by a long shot. So go ahead, Steve. Where'd you put the 10th edition box set?
Honestly, I really wanted to give it S tier. I really, really wanted to put it in S tier, but I honestly can't put it in S tier, and I literally can't put it in S tier because it's so expensive. Like it's just so fucking expensive.
I did that too. I put it as a C. You probably put it as A, right?
Yeah, I dropped it down to A because I really wanted to put it in S tier because I think in terms of the contents, incredible. It has like, it's got fucking everything. It has cool units for both sides. It has variety units for both sides. You get a dreadnought for the Marines. You get the fucking Terminator. You get the Librarian in Terminator armor for the Marines, which is fucking dope. They're fucking awesome. Like I love the contents of both sides. And then the Tyranids are also awesome too. Tyranids have the new Gaunts, which look and then on the Tyranid side, like I mean they have the coolest shit. I mean they have the new Termagaunts. The Rippers are great. They have giant fucking they have the Screamer Killer Carnifex. Like I mean, fucking dope fucking box. But holy fuck, dude, it is so expensive.
Yeah, and that's pretty much where I agree. I put it as a C just because of the price. Like to get someone into the game, it's like that's just so high.
And that's exactly it. Like I think that's that's a terrible price point for a starter box. It just is. Like I don't know. Maybe splitting it or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'm a huge it's Workshop. They're gonna do their fucking thing. Yeah. But like, I'm a huge fan of single faction starters. Like, I think that I guess Workshop already does make single faction starters because they make all those like box sets and everything.
I'm just a bigger fan of like, give me two troops and a leader. Like, that's all I need. like two troops in an HQ. Like, you don't need to have 70 figures in there when you could just do like, look at the McCrag box set, which was your A tier, which was 36 figures.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's I'm a fan of variety, not necessarily quantity.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It doesn't have to be quantity, but I think the quality of the quantity should be important.
Right, like, and if you're going to give me quantity, it needs to be at the. There's only one that I feel that is at that level where like the quantity is just so overwhelming. It's like, yeah, okay, this is great, and that's Skull Pass.
Yeah, I mean, and that was just the goblins. There's a ton of goblins.
Yeah, there's so many fucking goblins,
and they're one piece goblins. So it was just like clip off the spruce, stick them in a base, you're ready to go.
Yeah, great figures.
But all these starter sets for 10th are all very much multi part. Mm. All right, so that's our tiered list. I wanted to give a quick loader tier.
Yeah.
So it's weird because you had a starter set for Fellowship, Two Towers of Return of the King, which I all gave B tiers. Fellowship I gave a C because who doesn't want to play that epic battle of the elves and humans versus the Moria goblins, because you see that in the movie. Two Towers and Return of the King were both B tier because they were very thematic. I liked all of the train in there and everything. Mine's Moria, an A tier box set. It was fantastic. You got the goblins, you got the Fellowship. It was very much playable, as exactly as you saw it in the movie.
You can do the battle in Balin's tomb.
Yes. The Hobbit box set, I also gave an A tier two. It was very expensive, though, at $125. But, man, that box set's fantastic.
Yeah, great box set. There's so many great figures in there. And the train is amazing.
The train's amazing. I think it's mainly the train that kind of sells it for me. Mm. Which I feel like is part of the reason why I really like the Warcry box sets, because it's very similar in that. Then you got the two newer box sets, which is the Battle of Pelennor Fields, which was, and then the Battle of Osgiliath. Both I gave C tiers to, mainly because of price. They're very, very expensive. $150 for Battle of Pelennor Fields and $210 for Battle of Osgiliath. But the sculpts are 20-year-old sculpts, so it's kind of like,
right,
that's a lot of money for 20-year-old sculpts. And they're not like the new metals, they're plastics. They're really crappy models for those sets. Mm-hmm. But they're still really good and thematic, so.
Yeah, as what they are, they're good.
Yeah. So, 3 C tiers, 2 B tiers, and 2 A tiers for that. So, there you go. Aside from that, one last thing I want to talk about there was nothing new in the Adepticon reveals. I don't think there's anything that you wanted to talk about in particular, correct?
No, I didn't. There was nothing like.
It was very underwhelming. Like, everything there was kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like the next old world release after the orcs is going to be dwarves, and they showed the new dwarf models, which are kind of nice, and there's a lot of old sculpts that are being re-released, and I think that's a great PR thing for GW to do, is really re-release these old metals, because hey, now the scalpers making those Eastern European recasters aren't gonna make anything out of them, because you can get the original metals now.
Yes, true.
And I think the one last thing was the Golden Demons. The single miniature gold had an AI generated background glued onto it, Steve.
Dun, dun, dun.
And no one cares. I think that's the thing, is like these people who really complain about AI use, it's just like, you have to realize the vast majority of people don't care. Like, you know what the amount of AI fetish art out there is right now, Steve?
An unbelievable amount.
Unbelievable amount of it. So, and then it's like these people get mad. It's because,
I mean, just the Wonder Bread guy alone has to have contributed at least 50% of it.
Probably. I mean, like, you know, I always talk about like feet fetishists, because they're the most like user friendly one. Like, I could talk about like more specific fetishes that I'm not into, but it's like feet fetish is always just easiest to talk about, because they're a very organized fetish. I always just have to, I applaud them on their organization skills. But it, like, there's like the people, like, as an example, the people who draw foot fetish art are all mad at the AI foot fetish art that's coming out there. And it's like, yeah, I get it, but you can't stop it. It's going to keep coming out. Like, you could rail against it and be like, it's not real art. But you know what? People are still fapping to it.
It's true. Yeah. You're not wrong.
Thou dost protest too much, Joe. Thou dost protest too much. I'm really not in defeat. I'm just going to point that out there. I mean, I, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not my bag, yo. Not my bag. But yes, and then there's the...
What about this book written by you? It is my bag, baby.
Son of a bitch. And it's I did really like the winner, which was the diorama duel one, which is the vampire who has the reflection where you don't see like the body. It's just it's a really, really cool conversion, a really cool thematic piece, and I think it's painted really well, and I'm glad it won the Slayer.
The shit, the thought came into my head and it fucking left just as fast. Shit, can't remember.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I do have to say, though, I did walk around the Golden Demons with Tim, as per our Adepticon tradition. Mm-hmm. And he brought up a really good point in that a lot of these painters don't have good painting fundamentals. A lot of them are just, we kind of came up with a term of like their YouTube paint jobs.
They're just using gimmicks.
And no, it's not necessarily gimmicks. It's that these models look really cool for YouTube and Instagram views. They're not really good painted models for in person. And I get what he's saying there in that.
Oh, they're being painted for a camera, not an eye.
Yes. They're being painted for a camera and not an eye. I get what he's saying there. He's saying that like the models that have won, the blending on them isn't great. It's actually kind of, it's very funky, but the contrast between them looks great for camera, but the eye can see the contrast too much between the blends and the layers. His winner that he picked that he really liked was the actual Eldar, the Exodite, the one on the Saurus. Mm. He really liked that one. He also really liked the Blood Bowl halfling team, which I don't think even placed, but I actually kind of
no, they got silver.
Okay. Oh yeah, I see, they got silver. And I agree with them. I think those models are fantastic.
Yeah, those are really good.
And the Nurgle guy that won looks great on camera, but if you actually look up close, the blending is not that great as comparison to the halfling team. But once again, it's like, who are you, you know, painting this for? Are you painting it for like painters? Or are you painting it for the camera? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big thing to consider with Golden Demons.
Yeah, because camera wise, that fucking Nurgle model is phenomenal.
Yeah, but if you actually, but you can't actually get a close look at it.
It's the opposite effect of when you take a picture. When you look at your model in person, you're like, oh, this model looks really good. And you take a picture of it, and it looks like shit.
Oh, like every model that I paint?
Yeah, it's the opposite effect.
Yeah, it's like hearing your voice on a podcast, and I'm like, do I really sound that nasally? And apparently I do.
Like, fuck, I sound terrible.
I sound terrible. Yeah, I mean, if you actually look at the model up close, it's you could definitely see there are some. I mean, it's not bad. It's a fantastic model. Don't get me wrong, but I think next to the halfling team, there was actually a really one of my favorite models, and I hope none of our listeners painted it, but I don't think they do because I don't think any of our listeners actually play these games. Just like us. There was a HeroQuest Barbarian that was really nicely painted. It was definitely never going to win, but I just like the paint job on it. But the paint job on the sword was so unbelievably biffed that I have to just remark that, like, this is the most biffed, like, 10-yard line, like, on the 9-yard line failure, the 1-yard line, like, just fumble I've ever seen in a model, where it's just like, oh, wow, look at this. This is really nice. Like, then you look at the sword, you're like, oh, my God, what the fuck?
What did you do?
And I was talking with, you remember Brendan Bell? You remember Brendan Bell?
Yeah.
There with us, and we were looking at everything, and he was, like, pointing out one model, like, team that he was like, oh, this looks really nice, and blah, blah, blah. And I don't think that this actually unit placed, so I can't point it out to anybody. But he's like, I'm wondering if they're going to win. And I said, probably not. And he goes, well, why not? And I go, well, you could see the big the mold line on the skull. And then he looked at it and he goes, oh, son of a bitch. So remember, clean your mold lines. But yeah, the Tim's pick, he liked the halfling team and the Exodite. but also he didn't know that that background was AI generated.
Dun, dun, dun. I really like that halfling team.
Yeah.
That
so
it's great.
As it's been told to me too, and I can tell this to listeners, is that the plinth and the backgrounds that they do on these models and like any of the terrain really doesn't count towards the golden demon, like towards the award. They really just look at the model. However, if the background stuff is painted poorly, it can affect whether or not you will win. So like if the Exodite guy did that model and he just put it on a plain black base, it would probably do just as well. But if he had done all of that and like fumbled the paint job on it, it could have affected his win, if that makes sense.
Yes.
But it doesn't add to the win. It just takes away from the win. It is
a gamble, because if you do a good job with the background stuff and it blends with your figure, they'll be like, okay, this is fine. But if it detracts from your figure, it's bad.
Yeah. So like a really good example is if you look at the single minis for AOS, none of them are on super fancy bases. They're very, very solid bases, and they're painted incredibly well, but they don't really distract from the model.
Right.
But if you look at all
the risk of distracting from your paint job for your model, if you do a super fancy plinth and background thing.
And I have seen people complain and talk about before that the way that unit is working now is not a lot of people are not happy with it, because it's just turning into another diorama.
Yeah, it is a diorama. Like I agree with that 100%. That's the first thing I was about to say. Like, none of those are units.
Yeah, they're all dioramas. And I think Games Workshop really needs to consider that when they're doing Golden Demons. And I've said this before, is like, I've always thought that unit has to be able to be separated from the base. Like, you cannot put a model on a display base like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. There's like the Nurgle one especially kind of put me on tilt. Because that's the top of the Glotkin.
Yeah.
And those are the two Glotkin brothers, and then one extra hero model he just like slapped on there.
He slapped it on there.
I mean, he did. Like, that's literally what he did. He just took that's part of a larger model. Like, entering that as a squad or a regiment. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. All three of these guys are not innocent of this crime. Like none of these are units. Like,
yeah.
Like, perfect. Like, yeah. And it's like a Warcry warband. Like, okay, that's fine. Play this in Warcry against me.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't. Okay. Then it can't be entered in unit or Warcry warband.
Yeah, it has to be in a diorama.
Yeah, this goes to diorama. Like, all of those should go to diorama. Like, period.
Oh, I'm with you, but that's GW's call. So one thing, and this is a call that I make every year with Golden Demon, is Games Workshop, please, if someone is listening to this, you need to do a stock model paint competition. Basically, you are only allowed... They pick the model. They tell you what model. Our stock model painting competition this year for AOS is this, or for Games Workshop is this model. It could be any
category.
Model.
Yeah, that.
And it's just everyone goes out and guess what? You're going to sell that model because people are going to want to paint it. Like, this is the Golden Demon model. And everyone has to paint that one model. Nothing fancy on it. You don't get to sculpt on it. You don't get to do anything except the stock model. You don't even get to do a base, I would say. Like, the base has to be a black base. Like, no basing. And you just paint the model. You glue it, slap it on that base, and you enter it. That's the stock model painting competition. And you will see some fantastic painting stuff on there. And that's, I think, would be more interesting to a lot of people who don't do Golden Demons because they don't feel they can enter.
Yeah, they should do that.
Yeah. But anyway, so we went through, we did a lot today. I had more stuff planned, but I can hold on to it to the next cast. It's the 3D printing of the Tomb King stuff, like my picks, but I can hold off to the next cast on that one, because I think we're already at about 2 hours.
Yeah. Next cast.
Next cast. So, Steve, anything else major that I should mention before we end the cast?
Nah, we're good.
We're good. All right. So, for everybody, if you could, go to the Game Classy Facebook page, is the best way to find the link to our Discord, where we actually talk to each other. It's a fantastic way of communicating if you don't have Discord. Shout out to some of the people who joined me at Adepticon this year. I don't know for the one if you want me to use your real name, but he did go to Cantini this year, which is fantastic. Got to see all that fun stuff. And then he was like, I was like, where are you going for lunch? And he's like, I don't know, we'll see. And I said, I gave him a suggestion. I said, Gnarly Knots, right? You know Gnarly Knots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fantastic. You know where they went for, you know where they went for food? Casey's Pizza, Steve. Casey's, the garage, gas station pizza. So you know who you are. I'm calling you out. You are in Chicagoland. Casey's Pizza.
That's great.
That's why I'm not using your real name, because I that'd be doxing.
It's apparently so embarrassing.
So embarrassing. No, you gotta go, how embarrassing.
How embarrassing.
And also I did see Choppa Bear. You know Choppa Bear, right?
Choppa.
Yeah, he was talking about Infinity. So yeah. I mean, you know our feelings on Infinity. we played briefly for first edition, which is considered to be the worst edition. Yes. And that has informed all of our opinions on Infinity.
Yes. Forever.
Forever. Ever and ever and ever. Like, you know that the new edition of Infinity is no.
No.
No. It's like our opinions on Andor. It's like, but Andor is really no.
No, it's Blandor.
Blandor. They named it. Anyway. So yes, go to the Discord. The best way to help out the podcast, like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, or like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube, where we also post the podcast. If you want to see more of my stuff, you can go to Game Classy Joe on Instagram. Steve is on Blue Sky at Command Throw, but be warned, there's a lot of adult anime content on there. I believe it's called Hentai, and it is art.
It's art. Yeah. Well, the cool thing about Blue Sky is you actually have to opt in to see it.
Yes. Steve, until next time,
if my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Later.
Later.
Game Classy.